Hello and welcome to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a York Rite Mason and Knight Templar. Well, it's Memorial Day. Let's take a moment and think about that. What does it mean to you, to your country? Some of the listeners are not from the United States, so let's begin with some very brief history and an explanation. The origin is from America's Civil War and the battles of 1864. Formerly known as Decoration Day, it originated after the American Civil War to commemorate the fallen Union soldiers of the Civil War. By the 20th century, Memorial Day had been extended to honor all Americans who have died in all wars. Memorial Day is a day of remembering the men and women who died while serving in the United States Armed Forces. If you want to know about Freemasonry and the Civil War, you may have seen the post I had on the Midnight Freemasons about a book called A House Undivided, the story of Freemasonry in the Civil War. It's fantastic, and a big thanks to Worshipful Brother Michael Patterson for his recommendation of that book. Now last week we talked about the Trivium, which is the first three of the liberal arts, grammar, logic, and rhetoric. This week, let's think about the Quadrivium, which is the last four of the liberal arts, which consists of arithmetic, which is numbers, geometry, which is numbers and space, music, which is numbers and time, and finally astronomy, which is numbers in space and time. MasonicDictionary.com defines the quadrivium as the following. In classical Latin, the word quadrivium meant a place where the four roads meet, and trivium a place where three roads met. The scholastics of the Middle Ages, looking to the metaphorical meaning of the phrase, the paths of learning, divided what we call the seven liberal arts and sciences, but which compromised the whole cycle of instruction in those days into two classes, calling grammar, rhetoric, and logic the trivium, and arithmetic, geometry, music, and astronomy the quadrivium. These two roads to the temple of wisdom, including seven distinct sciences, were in the Middle Ages supposed to be included: universal knowledge. Now an explanation is as follows. Arithmetic was originally the science or theory of numbers. Someone has said that the teaching of arithmetic during medieval times consisted of simple calculations and complex superstitions. This seems too simple a view, although perhaps not a wholly unreasonable one. It seems likely that the arithmetic of the quadrivium probably consisted of four elements. These would have been numeration, the naming of numbers, notation, the writing and reading of numbers, counting, the act of numbering, and computation, the manipulation of numbers. For all this simplicity, years later, the mathematical Carl Gauss was able to refer to arithmetic as the queen of mathematics. Geometry. In this day of calculators and computers, mathematics holds little of mystery or romance for any except the most dedicated mathematician. As a result, it is difficult for one to relate to Plato's statement, geometry will draw the soul toward truth and create the spirit of philosophy. To understand this, one must remember that Greeks pursued all mathematics out of intellectual curiosity and zest for pure thought. They were concerned with teaching men to reason abstractly and preparing them to contemplate the ideal and the beautiful. Their complete absorption with geometry led them to convert mathematical ideas into geometrical ones. Their preference for idealizations and abstractions expressed itself in a mathematical spirit whose ultimate end was philosophy. It is essentially this Greek idealization of geometry that has carried over into Masonry. Astronomy. Astronomy today is one of the exact sciences, and it has long since divested itself of the metaphysics and mysticism which once characterized its studies. In the minds of all people, astronomy is the science of the heavens and has been closely connected with religious tradition. It was long thought that in the heavens would be found the supernatural causes of observed phenomena, as well as the answers to the future. Masonry has idealized astronomy as it has geometry. The monitorial lecture tells us that astronomy is that divine art by which we are taught to read the wisdom, strength, and beauty of the Almighty Creator in those sacred pages, the celestial hemisphere. For Masonry, the value of astronomy is metaphysical rather than physical, as indicated by the final sentence of the lecture. While we are employed to do the study of this science, we must perceive unparalleled instances of wisdom and goodness, and through the whole creation, trace the glorious author by his works. Music. Somewhere back in time, man discovered that the sounds from his stringed instrument depended on their lengths. He further found that putting multiple strings together allowed him to produce a pleasing harmony. His inquiring mind led him to discover that the ratio of the lengths of the strings were simple whole numbers. So from the time of Pythagoras, the study of music was regarded as mathematical in nature. It seems strange to think of music as mathematical until one considers the words of philosopher and mathematician Gottfried Leibniz. Music is the pleasure the human soul experiences from counting without being aware that it is counting. It was this essentially mathematical character of music that leads to its being included in the quadrivium. That concludes the section on the quadrivium. This week we do in fact have a Grand Lodge spotlight. My neighbors to the north, the Grand Lodge of Minnesota, responded and gave me the okay to read from their website. So the following is from their website, mn-masons.org. For over 159 years, Masonry has played an important part in the social order of Minnesota. We attempt to carry on the legacy of our brothers, doctors William and Charles Mayo, Harold Stason, and Hubert Humphrey, among many other distinguished Minnesotans. We are men who believe in a supreme being, but may call him by many names: God, Allah, Jesus, the Great Spirit. Religious tolerance has been the hallmark of Masonry from its inception, because we choose to emphasize what brings us together, not what may separate us. The topics of religion and politics may not be discussed in a Masonic lodge. Masons who come to this website will find information to make your experience as a brother much more fulfilling. Masonic events throughout Minnesota, educational information, and governing documents are located here. Non-Masons will find information on our history, tenets, and philanthropic programs, as well as information on how to become a Mason. On behalf of the 14,000 men who proudly call themselves Minnesota Masons, I welcome you to the site and invite your comments and questions. Brian E. Bierman, Grand Master, 2012-2013. And now also from the Grand Lodge of Minnesota's website, Minnesota Masonic Facts. Primary mission: Freemasonry is the world's oldest and largest fraternal order, with some 2.5 million members worldwide. Its members are men from all walks of life who together support the fraternity's aims of brotherhood, relief, and truth. Membership is open to men of any race or religion who believe in a supreme being and are of good repute. Minnesota Freemasons. 2003 marked the 150th anniversary of the establishment of the Grand Lodge of Minnesota. Today there are 156 lodges statewide with approximately 14,000 members. Organization: every Minnesota Mason belongs to one of the 156 lodges mentioned above. Each lodge is governed by the Grand Lodge of Minnesota. Specifically, they are led by the Grand Master and the Grand Lodge Board of Corporate Trustees. Funding is provided through annual dues of each Minnesota Lodge member, which includes a $29 annual per capita payment for each member. Charitable programs. Charity is one of the primary focuses of Masonic activity. The following programs are supported by the Minnesota Masons. Minnesota Matching Funds Scholarship Program. Minnesota's youth have long been a focus of the Masons of Minnesota. This program of Minnesota Masonic Charities, administered through the Grand Lodge office, provides over $300,000 in scholarships to graduating Minnesota high school seniors annually. Every scholarship is awarded by one of the 160 lodges or order of the Eastern Star chapters located across the state. Minnesota Masonry has expanded its charity through the creation of the Benevolence Fund, Help Aid and Assist Fund, seeded by contributions from the dues of every Minnesota Mason. The fund can be used to aid any Minnesota Masonic family that encounters difficulty that cannot be addressed through traditional means. The Minnesota Masonic Cancer Center Fund, imbued with a sense of passion for men, women, and children suffering from cancer, Masons of Minnesota made voluntary gifts totaling $2,100,000 between 1955 and 1966. To pay the full cost of building the Masonic Memorial Hospital, now known as the University of Minnesota Masonic Cancer Center. Carrying on its long tradition of supporting cancer research and education, in 1991, the Minnesota Masonic Cancer Center Fund Incorporated pledged $5 million to the Minnesota Medical Foundation, the official fundraising arm of the University of Minnesota Medical Schools, to build a new cancer research facility. At that time, this was the largest commitment the Minnesota Masonic Cancer Center Fund Incorporated had ever made. The new cancer research facility was named the Masonic Cancer Research Building. This state-of-the-art facility is located on the east bank of the University of Minnesota campus in Minneapolis. It contains laboratory space and houses a diverse team of outstanding cancer researchers who lead the way in expanding and intensifying Minnesota's cancer research efforts. In 2005, the Minnesota Masonic Cancer Center Fund again renewed its commitment to the fight against cancer by announcing the Partners for Life campaign. This fundraising effort has pledged $10 million to help build a new Masonic Oncology Pavilion at the University of Minnesota. When completed, the Masonic Oncology Pavilion will help the university complete clinical trials and in other ways be more competitive for top medical talent and national cancer grants. Minnesota Masonic Homes. In July 1920, the original Minnesota Masonic Home opened its doors in Bloomington. Since that time, Minnesota Masonic Homes has served thousands of people, Masons, Eastern Star members, and others in need. Today, this community houses approximately 300 residents in independent living, assisted living, and 24-hour skilled nursing areas. In 1999, Minnesota Masonic Home expanded its services to the aging by adding Masonic Home Northridge and Carebreak Adult Day and Transportation Program in New Hope. A Masonic Home Northridge is home to more than 700 residents. The Northridge community includes senior apartments, personal care suites, and 24-hour skilled nursing care. So again, if you want to know more about the Grand Lodge of Minnesota, visit their site at www.mn-masons.org.
Freemason Conspiracies.
Another good one this week. As you can imagine, I dug this up on some backwater website. Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek, was a 33rd degree Scottish Rite Freemason. This is why we have Scotty, Spock's Kabbalistic Masonic V hand gesture, pyramid-shaped communicators, and other Masonic symbols. The name Captain Kirk comes from Cirque, meaning church in Scottish. So the church, Captain Kirk, is the head of the Starship Enterprise. What enterprise? Whose enterprise do you think? Take note that the Vatican actually funds and controls every astronomical telescope and observatory in the world. All findings run through the Vatican before both the public and the scientific communities. What does this tell us? Meanwhile, the Masonic movie/music industries give us stars, superstars, divas, celebrities, models, and idols to worship. Wow, that's a good one, huh? That was just all over the place. Anyway, this week's famous Freemason is Francis Julius Bellamy. Francis Julius Bellamy, born May 18, 1855, and died August 28, 1931. Francis Julius Bellamy, one-time Baptist minister and prominent member of the Christian Socialist Movement, wrote the original United States of America Pledge of Allegiance, first published in the September 8, 1892 issue of the Youth's Companion. Bellamy, then a committee chairman of the National Education Association, structured a public school program around a flag-raising ceremony and a flag salute, his Pledge of Allegiance. This pledge has since come under several, sometimes controversial, revisions. Bellamy's original words were, "I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." Bellamy considered adding the word equality to stand with liberty and justice, but feared it would be too controversial. In 1924, against Bellamy's wishes, the American Legion and Daughters of the American Revolution pressured the National Flag Conference to replace the words "my flag" with "the flag of the United States of America." In 1954, under pressure from the Knights of Columbus, Congress officially added the words "under God." He was a member of Little Falls Lodge No. 181, Little Falls, New York. That's it for this week. Remember to like the show on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Whence Came You. Email us and add us to your circle on Google+ at the email address wcypodcast.gmail.com. Visit the website at wcypodcast.blogspot.com and make sure to check out the Midnight Freemasons while you're there. And I'll have an article posted there on June 4th. Until next week, have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. And for Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.